We have a new host on the show today, my dear, dear, dear friend.
Paul Taylor.
Now, Paul, tell us, what are your feelings on Ghostbusters 1 versus Ghostbusters 2? I've been having a debate with the new intern at work. She insists that 2 is better. I disagree. How do you feel about this?
I'm going to have to say that Ghostbusters 2 is not that great. Ghostbusters 1 is basically a classic. I haven't seen him in a while, so...
Who is your favorite Ghostbuster?
I would have to say Egon.
Egon, interesting.
I would go with Egon as well.
The other guys are kind of characters to me. He's the true scientist slash Ghostbuster that, you know, anyone can see.
You don't like the classic Peter Venkman played by Bill Murray?
I mean, I love the character. I love Bill Murray. He's of course one of the greats. But I like to think that Ghostbuster is what Egon classifies.
I agree. Egon is great.
What does your secretary at work?
She says that. Well, you know, I'm mischaracterizing her. She says I always accuse her of thinking that 2 is better than 1. But she says every time that she likes them both equally and that they're basically the same movie twice. And I will agree that I do like the villain. Who would not like the Scourge of Carpathia over Gozer or whatever the fuck that guy in number 1 is? I mean, the Scourge is great. And I mean, I just don't like the gimmicky River of Slime.
I would say that the thing that I like least about the movie, about number 2, is the baby. I mean, I think... I think that's real gimmicky, like, oh, I'm going to put this baby in the bathtub while the water's running. Of course, it easily, oh, there's the slime,
I agree, it's stupid. So, Will, do you have any questions for Paul? Yeah, give us your thoughts on Ghostbusters.
Well, 2 is one of these movies that I've only seen bits and pieces of. I've never actually sat down and watched Ghostbusters 2 all the way through.
Minus 37 pop culture points.
I mean,
he's already in the hole.
I'm already pretty far in the hole when it comes to pop culture points. I mean, I remember the River of Slime. I remember there's a baby involved.
That's 2. What about 1?
Well, 1, I don't know. I mean, Sigourney Weaver's in it, isn't it? Isn't Sigourney Weaver play the love interest / possessee?
Yes, yeah. Truth.
I mean, I like Sigourney Weaver. It was okay. I thought the...
Did you think the marshmallow or... Stay Puft Man was kind of kiddie, like, that's how I always thought, but I always thought it was kind of cool, like, he was mean.
And he thought that was the first thing that Ray thought of.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the impact of, I mean, the bit where the Marshmallow Man appears, that's like a major part of the film, but it's been dulled for us because, I mean, we started watching the cartoon, True
yes,
or False.
True.
Where the Stay Puft Man is just like a thing.
Yeah.
And it's...
He was part of the intro music. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
He's marching.
Yeah, so we already know it's happening. And so when he appears in the film, it's not this, holy crap, they made a giant marshmallow man. It's just like, okay, we knew this was happening. Great. This isn't that...
I
like, the impact is blunted by us coming at it from the wrong direction.
Agreed, yes. We were on the wrong side of...
We're on the wrong side of history.
I also, in 2, I don't like the city, the guy who is like the...
The art thing?
In 2, is it 1 at work gets shut down or 2?
Oh, where they get sued by the city.
Yeah, I don't like that guy's character. Yeah. He was over the top. Yeah. And they're like, we got to shut it down. Boom. And then, of course, nuclear bomb goes off. I didn't really enjoy that. But, yeah, I mean, when I was 8, I was scared by it. I'm like, oh, man, I don't want that to happen. But now you watch it again, and you're like, wow.
Well, it's mostly a comedy with sci-fi elements, so it's not meant to be.
I mean, isn't it primarily a comedy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
But it's great.
Yeah. The 3 of us were at dinner today, Red Robin. Daniel was craving a burger, so we went to Red Robin.
To be clear, you guys were at dinner because you were behind schedule. I had already eaten.
That is true.
That was the best, though, because he had a good time.
Dan papering over his faults here.
Lift rug, insert problem.
Sweep under rug.
Sweep under rug, smooth out, replace rug, smooth out creases.
Proceed with day.
Enjoy day.
Yeah.
That's how I operate most days. Recently, we've all had the opportunity to play the board game Agricola. If, for those of you who don't know who this is, it's a farming game where players compete to build the most well-rounded farm, and you score points at the end of the game based on how good your farm is and what your occupations you've played. And I really enjoy it. For a long time, it was the number one rated board game on Board Game Geek. but I know that we all have varied opinions on it, so why don't take it away, Will. Thoughts on Agricola?
Well, I would have to disagree with your characterization of it as a farming game. It's basically a change cubes into other cubes game with a farming theme. Yes, you put.
Obviously, you can already hear his disdain for it, but continue.
Well,
it's a farming themed board game.
It is a farming themed board game. Yes, your goal is to have a nice balance of livestock and plowed fields and stables, and
children
slash farmhands.
Yeah,
a nice upgraded farmhouse, preferably of stone rather than sticks.
And players compete for action spaces on a communal board. They have their own board, which is their farm. And there is a board with just actions that they take. So a lot of the game revolves around placement of it's a worker placement game. Players take turns selecting actions. That's where most of the player interaction comes from.
It is. I mean, every round you have to decide, okay, I only have maybe two actions this round. Am I going to plow a field? Am I going to acquire some sheep? Am I going to go gather some wood or clay to build things?
And that's what the game is known for, the amount of options available to the player. I mean, and we should mention that each player has a hand of 14 cards, which also allow them to, each card gives them a special ability or allows them to break a rule in a certain special way. So there are many options available to the players. Paul, what did you think of Agricola?
My first go at it, when you first got the game, I wasn't too enthused about it. But since we played, I think we played maybe three or four times, I've actually really liked it. Your strategy going into it, like any game, you have a strategy. Okay, this is what I'm going to do here. Mid game, this is what I'm going to do. End game, this is what I'm going to do. You get in the game, immediately my strategy changes. Or two turns into the game, my strategy is 100% different. And I'm now like, oh man, like I'm rushing around thinking, is this going to work? Am I going to win by doing this? It's very...
And why does that happen?
A, because you might get cards that change the outcome of what you're trying to, you know, eventually achieve, and B, because there's other players doing kind of the same strategies you're doing.
Yeah.
Taking the cubes, yeah. You know.
Can you give the listeners just a feel for what a Agricola strategy might be? Just in rough terms.
The last game that I played of Agricola was with Paul and my brother, and my strategy in that game, I see that I have an occupation that allows me to, which is a card, that allows me to, if I choose the plow field action, mm-hmm. I can pay a food from my food supply to immediately plow an additional field.
Okay.
Now that's very, very powerful.
So you have a bonus plowing power.
A bonus plowing power.
Okay.
So I know from that I'm going to go towards a crop based strategy because I can plow fields so much more quickly. I immediately adapt to a strategy where I'm going to be selecting a lot more grain,
yeah.
So I can do planting.
Yeah.
Where Paul went with a lot more fences and animals. So mm-hmm. that would be a strategy of
so
plow.
So based
plant.
On the cards available, you know that it's going to be relatively easy or easier for you to acquire points through the
plowing and planting.
Plowing and planting. So you
yes.
head for that way.
Yes.
So Paul, what would cause you to change strategies mid-game other than discovering what cards you had available?
Well, I think you wanted to go plow and plant just from the previous game, didn't you? And then
I wanted to go plow and plant, and the cards that I got had nothing to do with plowing and planting. It was more of wood-based, i.e. feeding my family with wood. So I could...
Which doesn't make sense when you hear it, but there's a way to turn wood into food in the
yes.
game.
Basically, for those who haven't played the game, you have to feed your family members two food around, or every time it gets to the harvest phase, which is every three turns, basically.
And towards the end of the game, there's more harvests. And
yeah. My whole goal going into it was, okay, I want to start a large family as soon as possible, but I want to be able to feed them and not have to worry about it. And that's what I was going into it thinking, I'm doing, you know, the plow and plant, and that should be fine. I didn't really want to concentrate on farm animals and that, because a lot of people get that to sack, and you can boil them for food. And it's just, it's tough, too, because basically the game is not always the same either, the way it's set up, because every new turn, a new card is flipped up in a series of, you know,
a new action is available to you.
Yeah, and it's never the same. So, you know, the game beforehand, the board was set up differently, so I kind of adapted my strategy to how that was set up. That was really dumb, because then we went into this new game and the board was a little different, And, you know, we couldn't make a new family member until later when in the game beforehand we could have. So that's one of the major things that kind of really screwed up my strategy. And I had to go back and basically, you know, go farm animals and fences and stuff like that. And yeah. Danny prevailed.
To what degree does the game depend on pure luck versus your skill versus the actions of the other players?
There is a element of luck in how the actions come up that's randomized. What cards you're dealt. You could be unfortunate and get a really bad hand, and the other player could get a really great hand. But for the most part, and this is a both pro and con, depending on what kind of games you like, you're entirely in control of your destiny. You're building your own farm. I mean, it's not like a game where another player can just come in and smash up your whole plan. The game isn't going to change from turn to turn based on your farm is in place. Once you take an action and have that stuff, you have it. So you're really in the driver's seat for how your farm develops.
Yeah, you're competing, but you don't really. You're scored at the end based on how well you did. You're not constantly like struggling with the other players the entire time.
Where in a game like Tigris and Euphrates, you could be building a nice kingdom and someone could come in with an external conflict and completely wreck the place in one turn.
Yeah. And you do point it out as a pro and a con. I mean, I'm on record, and I'll just summarize. It feels like multiplayer solitaire to me, in that you're on your own doing your own thing, trying to build your farm as efficiently as possible, but the other players really don't matter. And I think that's a negative for me. Paul, what's your feel on that front?
I'd have to say I agree with you. It's kind of, I'm a big poker player. It's kind of like Texas Hold'em. You know, there's the board that you play off of with your two cards. And, you know, depending on what cards you have in your hand and what's on the board, you can either have a really good hand or a really crappy hand. Well, it's kind of the same way in Agricola. You can, depending on how you play what's in your hand and what the other players played during their turns, can affect you a little bit, but not so much that you're totally screwed. Like, well, I'm done because you took all of one material, or I'm done because you took this action and I didn't get a chance to. So I agree in that front.
But with poker, you're watching the other players pretty tightly, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was relating it more the game mechanics and how it goes, not to the gameplay. Obviously, poker, I played where I haven't even looked at my cards. I've read the player or such like that. But in terms of game mechanics, you are sharing a communal board in the middle, and that's how you play.
So there is an element of player interaction based on there's a limited number of actions. And I suppose I've never really tried an active like deny strategy. Like I don't really pick a space because I know someone else needs that space. But I suppose that's as close as it gets to direct confrontation with
it. It's pretty limited compared to how much other stuff is going on in the game.
If you like a lot of player interaction, it's not the best game.
So what I'm hearing is that you like the game, Paul.
Yes, I do. I agree with you. I wish that there was some way that maybe you could trade your materials, or you could, you know, way to involve your opponents. I think it would be a lot better, but I think that would be a totally different game.
We were discussing, it's been roughly 6 or 7 months.
Since March.
Since March, when the three of us went to
PAX East 2010.
Yes. The time has come to discuss whether to reattend, so we'd like to spend some time discussing our impressions of our previous visit and subsequently the pros and cons of attending again. Please.
Paul and I booked a ticket on Amtrak from Cleveland to Boston. Approximately 2 weeks prior to our departure, we learned that there was some track work around Albany, so we would have to take a bus from Albany to Boston. This is a 15-hour one-way trip.
15.1 hours.
There was a point one.
It was quite the trip.
Both of our first experiences with Amtrak, and let me say, they did not disappoint.
They did
all the
not
stops
disappoint.
Were pulled out.
Yep. You know, it wasn't that I didn't like the train trip. It was the little things like the track being worked on. We had to get on the bus.
That bus was terrible.
Bus got lost.
The bus did get lost, and it was hot. We sat next to a chatty bitch that she would not shut up. Paul just like, see ya, headphones on. I had to chat to this woman.
That's why I didn't have an iPod at the time.
I have your iPod now.
Exactly.
It's like the Penny Arcade where he's like, I don't want to talk to this guy. Poof, turns into a block of wood.
I remember that.
Basically, I felt like the train trip was a little too much. I felt like we wasted time on the train that we could have spent at PAX.
It's in the journey, not the destination.
15 hours versus 8 in a car versus, what, 4 on a plane, 3 on a plane.
Listeners should note that we're in the there's a debate currently ongoing on transportation-wise, at least among people who are not me.
Will says plane.
I'm happy to get on a train, but not for 15 hours. Dan's going to be...
It really, the 15 hours just flies by.
Okay, anyway, okay,
you're,
so
you're in state-of-the-art relaxation seats.
Your advocacy of the train is well-established and doesn't need to...
You haven't put your foot on a footrest until you've rested it on an Amtrak footrest.
Worst footrest ever. let me make that a huge point.
It's cost-effective. I can sleep. I have plenty of room. We can play games, which we didn't even take advantage of last time. There are other nerds there.
Other nerds whom you refused to speak with.
They were wearing surgical masks, and we couldn't identify the gender of many. She was just weirdly close sitting, close talking. I think it was a she.
It wasn't creepy. It was just like, well, would I rather sit here in my chair, talk to Dan, you know, BS, or do I want to try to go befriend these PAXers and try to get to know these weird people? And I was just like, this is our first time on the trip. Maybe on the way back. Of course, on the way back, we want nothing to do with them. We were done with PAX. We were done with the people, you know.
This was a recurring theme, I think, at the weekend, is go to a convention with hundreds of other game enthusiasts and then studiously avoid meeting or interacting with any of them. True or false?
Mock them from afar.
Mock them. Well, not even afar. It's like on the subway, look at that guy wearing that PAX scarf.
That's true.
Don't talk to him.
I think that nobody really made any effort to. If we would have been like, if Danny would have said, hey, let's go into the board game room and try playing game A, I'm sure we would have followed.
And I wanted to go into the board game room, but it was so overrun with people. They were like, it's an hour wait to check out a board game. I would have loved to do that. I'm going to say that our first interaction at PAX with a PAXer that wasn't a member of our group was that weird kid that played Magic with us while we sat on the floor.
Guy playing Magic on the floor. What was going on when that happened?
We were waiting in a large line to go into...
We had to wait in line to get into the place the first day.
Yeah.
Because Will wasn't with us.
I was... Because I had gone back to something.
It was... You were in like...
Paul is right. It was for the Create a Comic. They had an event there where you could watch them create a comic. Mike and Jerry.
They talked.
While waiting in line for that.
Because I had gone to the Bill Amond panel.
Correct. Yeah. We went to the Bill Amond panel with you. You were at the video game music or something like that.
Possibly.
Okay.
Which is great.
Anyway, so that's what we were doing. And we just decided to use, they had given us sample decks.
Yes.
In our swag.
These are Magic the Gathering trading cards.
Which
games,
we stole
CCG.
Multiple bags to get multiple colors of decks.
Yeah.
So many times to get every color.
So for those of you who went, who did the same thing, you're probably laughing right now. For those of you who hate people like us, we apologize.
They had dumpsters full of those swag bags.
The weekend was marked by shortages of space and resources for the vast number of attendees, but there were lots of extra swag bags. So I don't think you were depriving anyone of anything.
Yes. And that's actually one of the biggest things they fixed this year. It's in a brand new venue. It looks like a massive convention center.
Do we know, like, capacity-wise, how many more thousands of people it's supposed to be able to?
I didn't look at the actual numbers, but it looks ginormous.
Because what was the number last year? 50,000 people showed up?
I don't know.
I'm making that up, so.
Yeah, I don't know the exact numbers. I don't want to lie and say, you know, such and such numbers. But I think that this place that they are using is, like, double the space. Like, the floor space that I saw, like, it was one of the floor spaces, and it was pretty, pretty large. And I'm like, wow, we got to go to PAX. I'm getting excited just because of that. I mean,
what would we do different this year? I'd say the first thing would be three-day passes.
First thing's three-day passes. I definitely think that we need to
What do you think you missed out on last time?
I just think we didn't do anything at the convention. We didn't play any games. We barely
spent time in the convention hall itself because it was so overrun.
Yeah, I mean,
people.
It was packed. I mean, we went through there, but we're like, man, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, we did. That was a nightmare.
I mean, I think more. I mean, obviously, we do 3-day pass. I think we need to do more of the actual schedule events.
I agree. We could spend time in the. They had like the retro game room.
Yes.
We barely did anything in there.
Yeah.
They have the board game room. I never got to touch a single board game, and that's my primary hobby.
Exactly. And I think, like, I would have loved, like, they had the massive LAN room with the 100 computers hooked
up. Yeah, yeah.
And that's all, that's me.
Yeah, I'm correct. 100%. Yeah. We didn't even touch that a second.
I mean, we tried to go in there to look, and they kind of like, hey, you got to get out of here because it's so packed, which is fine.
No, it was. Yeah.
You know, but.
So that's the first thing. 3-day pass, more events.
Yes. 3-day pass, more events.
Less sightseeing at Boston since we've been there.
Yeah, since we already did all that. I would like to try to befriend a group of PAXers. I mean, I know that's not like us.
I know it's not.
But I think if we do that, you know, hey, after PAX, let's meet up at so-and-so in Boston and get a drink, or let's meet up and play game A or B.
Play a game, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about, I mean, I'll go in two directions. What are sort of the things that you liked best about going in 2010?
First off, what did you find the numbers out on that?
It was over 50,000 attendees.
Wow, 50,000.
Impressive for the first year.
Yeah.
Actual PAX East, things I enjoyed. The draw a strip event.
Yes.
Really love that.
I think that this year, if we do go, the one thing is I want to go to the opening event that they hold because everyone was talking about it.
The keynote.
Yeah. And I was really kind of, after seeing the creative strip, I was like, man, I was real sad that we didn't go
see
that.
They know how to entertain.
That was Will Wheaton's speech, right?
Yes, that was Will Wheaton there, yeah.
You can find it online.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's not like being there, yeah, exactly.
Turd.
Like we said earlier, I just want to do more.
To the degree you had one, what was your strategy for the event last time, and how would it be different this time?
So I think that we spent a lot of time sightseeing in Boston. I mean, we've never been
there,
which
was
fine.
I enjoyed my trip to Boston. I enjoyed going to Harvard. I enjoyed everything. It was fine.
I just think that if we're going to a giant convention like PAX, we need to dive right into what's available.
I agree.
Sit on one of those bean bags. I don't think I even did that. The huge sumo bean bags.
No, I would like to sit on sumo bean bags.
How broad do you think the appeal of the event is? I mean, there's RPG, there's tabletop RPG stuff going on. Video gaming is, I think we can probably agree, is the focus of the event, really, in terms of the number of events going on and the people there to talk to. There are panel discussions to see. I mean, how many different kinds of people do you think could be interested in going and have a good time and find it worthwhile?
I think a lot more. We've been to, when we were middle schoolers and high school, we went to Origins, which is more of a tabletop gaming, collectible card game.
I would love to go back to Origins again. I am fully in support of going elsewhere instead of PAX and just doing Origins. I would love it. Just thinking about that sense my heart erasing.
See, I think that PAX is I think that PAX is Origins with video games added on.
I agree, and that's your primary interest, so that would be a reason. The benefits of doing Origins would be that it's so much closer and you could just do a one-day trip.
True. But I think that most of the fun last year was actually going to Boston.
I agree. Yeah, completely.
You know, the jumping on the train at the last minute because they printed my ticket
wrong.
God,
yeah.
There's a whole backstory to this, which we should have probably got into.
Right,
but,
nah, it's
basically, the trip was some planes, trains, and automobiles.
Truth. Waiting around.
For you guys, it was planes, trains, and automobiles. For me, it was like, I am arrived and refreshed, and this is efficient, and everything's
imagine
fine.
This, a frantic scene where we're jumping onto a train as it's pulling away, cut to Will, sipping a coffee and reading a newspaper. In Boston.
Yes, already there.
Chowder, why yes.
Pretty much.
I mean, I think that all the stuff you just listed, obviously fans of that stuff. I think that it'd be hard-pressed to get a lot of people interested in outside things like sports. I think they even covered, I don't know if they had things on movies or music. I didn't really see much of that. I don't know. I mean, they had the video game concert where they had a bunch of artists like...
There was the big concert, which none of us made it to, I don't think, but it was always...
That was Friday night.
That was Friday night, which we had... No, the big concert with Jonathan Coulton and MC Frontalot,
yeah.
That's all. It's spoken highly of, but we didn't make it to that. So arguably, you could say that this whole
again slap us.
This whole segment's not worth listening to. completely.
But we're trying to fix it because if we go this year, we want to do it right. Yeah. In the eyes of those who go and eat everything up.
Yeah. You've pointed out how it has a broad appeal to partakers of many different kinds of, quote, nerd culture.
Right.
But is there someone that PAX really wouldn't work for, like...
Girls who love shopping.
Okay, but like I mean within
maybe.
Like within the nerd sphere, for some definition of that term. Mm. Whom does it really like if you're is there potentially an RPG enthusiast or a video game enthusiast who would not enjoy it or not find it worthwhile?
Outside of someone who like doesn't like going to being around people.
You mean like,
if you're
you mean
afraid
like us?
Of crowds.
You mean like us?
No, but we go out. We're productive members of the society who don't have problems interacting with people on a daily basis, or at least I don't.
Right.
Esquire.
But at the same time, we pretty much didn't talk to anyone else there.
Truth.
But that did we go to meet other people? No, we went to hang out. We hadn't seen you in months.
That's true, too.
We went for, it was basically a trip to Boston with PAX there as well.
That's true. That was really how the visit was for us at the time.
When I got home, I was like, I am never riding a train again in my entire life.
Now we're on the doorstep of repeating it, train and all.
That's false. We will be flying probably, or I will be driving.
You don't all have to do the same thing.
I'm not riding a goddamn train by myself.
So what you're saying is, 15-hour train is... What you're saying is misery.
Train is miserable.
What you're saying is misery loves company.
But it's great with other people.
That's recorded on tape. The train is miserable.
Well,
if this were a political campaign, we would be excerpting those three lines.
And Dan Petrosini said, trains are miserable.
And pairing them with a black and white, slowly Ken Burnsing effect photo of you, mid-speech.
What I'm saying is, the train would be hell on earth if I was doing it alone. But if I was not, like I can get drunk in the Albany train station and play Hive and throw my pieces all over. Which happened, and it was great.
I think if the train ride was not 15 hours, that's more.
You guys are overestimating. By the time you even get on and get your baggage set down, there's an hour and a half gone.
It's so false. It hurts.
By the time you get situated,
no.
It's not here.
By the time we got situated, no. By the time we got situated on the way there. We didn't even know what was going on because we had to jump on a moving train to
right.
go.
That's what I'm saying. By the time we got the sweat mopped off our brows, we were 2 hours into that trip.
One, it's gone from one to two.
Yeah, it's I will declare this on record that I will take the train if all four of us go, and perhaps we get a sleep car like we talked about at dinner, and not a it's a little extra for comfort.
Have I or have I not hyped the footrests?
Footrests are horrible. Too short. Even for me, who's 5'9" and a half, too short.
That's why we had those spots on the way there where you could supplement it with your luggage.
Plus the whole... Well, the handy has spots for which the whole ride was shoo, shoo, shoo,
door. You're sitting right by the bathroom. And
our discussion on PAX has turned into a long rant against AMC.
We've spent more time arguing about conveyances than the event itself.
All right, so let's
it really is the journey, not the destination.
Let's I've been saying all along.
Let's get this back on track. Yeah. PAX, are we in?
I'm in, ready to roll.
Will, what if you're not in, what will it take to get you in? And if you're not, also, why are you hesitating to say yes? Do you think you're not going to have fun, or are you? Does the stuff at PAX not interest you as much as it might have used to?
I don't know. I think, and this is going to further disqualify myself from hosting and producing this program.
Nonsense.
But I think I'm not as into games as I used to be. Walking around the exhibit hall where the new games are on display was pretty cool. I couldn't really play anything because the lines were so long.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Which is, you know, an unfair way to judge.
Mm-hmm.
When you say games, do you mean video games or all games?
I think probably all games. I don't know. If I were planning a road trip, I'd probably be like, let's go to the beach or hiking.
The beach?
Or
hiking?
Hiking.
I would love hiking.
Outdoors.
I could go to the beach, but not hiking.
Thanks for listening. To hear more episodes or to subscribe and be notified when new ones appear, visit us on the web at williamcline.org. That's www.williamcline.org. www.org/projects/spradio/.
Gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to come on and partake in this lovely podcast/radio show.
You get a producer credit for this one.
Excellent, excellent. Hopefully we can do this again. Hopefully we'll all have three mics. Yes, our web comic, which happened in what, 1999, 2000.
If we can get this one edited and published, we'll have broken our record.
Touchdown.
Of continuous content production.
Excellent.